This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/campfire. That's casper.com/campfire and enter the promo code campfire. Thanks, Casper. The Campfire is also brought to you by the Mysteries Cruise. Yes, you can sail with me, Micah Hanks, and Amy Bruni this November. Check it all out at mysteriescruise.com. That's mysteriescruise.com.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the Campfire. I am Jim Harold, and Happy New Year, everybody. We've been on a bit of a break, took a week off because of the holidays after our Campfire Christmas show, but we're back and raring to go, and we've got some great stories for you. I think that you're really going to enjoy it. And if you're new to the Campfire, welcome. We're glad to have you, and you won't hear much more of me. It's going to be a lot of great, spooky stories. Also, I should mention, hey, if you know someone who got a new device for Christmas, a phone, a tablet, whatever it may be, a computer, please turn them on to the podcast and let them know how they can subscribe for free. Maybe show them the way that you do it. And I think that'll help a lot in spreading the word. And of course, rate and review us wherever you listen. Particularly iTunes really helps us a lot. If you can put in a little 4 or 5 star review and write a couple sentences on why you love the show, I would appreciate it very much. And now we're going to get to the reason you appreciate the show, the Campfire Stories. And here they are. Christian is on the line from the San Francisco Bay Area. He's a brand new caller, found us because a friend told him, so please tell your friends, and he's going to tell us about a strange apartment, the first one he lived in. Christian, welcome to the program. Tell us what happened.
Thank you, Jim. So about my mid-20s, my cousin and I moved into an apartment along the beach in Alameda, California, which is about 30 to 40 minutes away from San Francisco. And the city actually is a pretty old city. There's a lot of history in there. A lot of the houses are like old Victorian houses. But we moved into probably like an apartment building built, I want to say probably in the early 70s.
Okay.
And it's right on the beach, and it's a really nice place. Yeah. When we first moved in, like, you know, typical out of college guys, you know, we didn't have that many groceries. We didn't have that much furniture or anything like that. But our first night, I didn't really notice anything. And then, like, the following weeks and days after, there would be little things, subtle changes in the apartment. I remember buying groceries, and I bought a loaf of bread. I placed it on the counter. It's, you know, the pre-sliced loaf of bread, and I placed it on the counter, and then me and my cousin were watching TV later on that evening, and we didn't touch the bread, and it was secure on the table. And I remember turning the TV off, and we hear like a thud in the kitchen, and somehow the bread ended up on the floor. It didn't really hit us as, you know, paranormal or anything. We were like, oh, maybe I didn't put it on the, you know, on the table, you know, far enough.
Securely,
or anything like that. Yeah. So, but I remember that I did, because I placed other items next to it, and they're all kind of bunched in the corner of the counter / table. So that was like a weird appearance, but we didn't think anything of it. And then we would have friends over, and they would notice things like I think that cabinet door just opened, and a lot of stuff happening like that, like cabinet doors opening, or they would hear like knocking. But at that time, I was pretty skeptical. I was thinking, oh, it's an apartment building, you know, it's people, you know, maybe the walls are thin or something like that. And yeah, like there was just different, like small things, but I never would have added them all up and thought that, you know, this place was haunted or anything like that. And then, another thing too is, this was pretty strange. This is when I started thinking it was haunted, but one morning we woke up and we were having breakfast, and our table is near like a sliding glass door, and and there's a pool area over there. And we woke up and it was like the smell of like fresh roses in our house. Those two guys, and we wouldn't have, you know, just roses in our apartment for anything. And there was no planters or flowers or anything nearby that would give off that smell of that rose. And it was pretty strong. Like we were in a florist or something. It was really strong.
And that's really a common thing. You know, you hear that a lot with haunted places, flowers, the smell of flowers.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think this is the biggest one. This is what I wrote to you about, because I wanted to share this part. Because a friend actually got, he had some woman problems and he got kicked out of his house. So he ended up staying with me and my cousin for a few weeks. And lucky for him, he was able to work from home. So he stayed home most of the time and worked from our apartment, and while me and my cousin would go off, you know, to our jobs. I remember specifically this one evening, I think another friend of ours came over and he asked me and my cousin, like, would you want to go out to dinner? And then my other friend who was living with us he was busy working, so he said he'll stay back. So I want to say this was probably around 6 p.m. when we went out to go eat for dinner, probably gone for an hour. My cousin and my other friend and I come back to our apartment, and I want to say probably, yeah, 7:15. We're standing outside of my apartment just talking a little bit while my friend was smoking a cigarette. And then I get a text from my friend who's working inside my apartment. And he says, bro, when are you coming home? And I was like, oh, sorry, we've been standing out in front of the apartment for about 15 minutes while our friend was smoking. He goes, someone was just in your apartment and looked at him. He said, looked at me and backed up and left.
Ooh.
Said, yeah. So I was like, when did this happen? And he says, oh, this happened like 5 minutes ago or something around that time. I don't remember, but we were trying to decipher, because we were standing out in front of my house or in front of the apartment for about 20 minutes before I got that text. So he said 5 minutes, someone came through our hallway. So my friend said he was sitting on the couch, saw someone approach out of the hallway, look at him, and they like made eye contact. And this wasn't on like a thin apparition or anything. It was like, he said, like someone solid, like actual person.
Huh.
He made it, he did say, yeah, he said nothing, looked at him, and then the figure backed out. And then my friend got up and followed him, but where he backed out was the front door. So if anybody would have came out, we would have saw him, since we were standing out there for a good, you know, 20 minutes. And, yeah, he described him, because I thought maybe it was our super or something. But it was not, it did not resemble anything like our super. He was the person that appeared to my friend. He was like a bearded man wearing like a flannel shirt, jeans. Like, it was very distinct to them. Like, you could see how much he was dressed. And
wow.
After that, like, yeah, we were pretty convinced, like, yeah, something's going on in this apartment or in this area. Yeah. And I try to do some research on my own to see what the land was before.
Right.
And the only thing I could dig up is that area along the beach used to be, I think it was called Neptune's Neptune Beach in Alameda, and they were, I think in the early 20s, they were branding it as the Coney Island of the West Coast.
Oh.
So, yeah. Other than that, I haven't got any other reports or I haven't heard anything else about it. But that kind of struck me.
Yeah, kinda, sure.
That kind of hard. That yeah. last one.
Now, so once you guys left, I assume you guys left and nothing followed any of you or anything like that?
So I left first because my cousin actually stayed there. He actually just moved out recently. And as for that, nothing followed me, and so far nothing followed him or anything like that. I did, when I moved out, his girlfriend moved in, so she said that she heard, you know, things I had heard earlier, like the knocking and the things of, like, moving around a little bit, but nothing like that last apparition that we seen that one day.
Yeah, that's spooky. Well, thank you so much, Christian, for telling your story today on The Campfire.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Next up on The Campfire is Dylan from Kentucky. Now, he's been listening for a short time, but he has looks like a really interesting story. Don't want to give it away, so I'm going to let him tell you. Dylan, welcome to the program. Tell us what happened.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. Okay, so one night, I was laying in bed in the old apartment that I used to live in. We started hearing some, you know, strange things in the night, and, you know, chandeliers moving, and we would see, you know, figures moving back and forth, and, you know, we just kind of let it slide, and maybe it was our imagination. And one night, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was tossing and turning, couldn't sleep, and I happened to look over my right shoulder, and there was a woman staring right at me.
Ooh.
And I'm terrified. And its figure is looking right at me. Well, I look up, and as I got closer to it, I noticed it looked more like my wife. So I began to ask her, and her name was Bethany, and I was, you know, what's going on? You know, and she wouldn't respond.
Right.
And I just kept looking and seeing, trying to see what's going on, and she would never answer me. Well, the second time I asked her, you know, what's going on, she reached right down and touched my hand. Ooh. And when she touched my hand, it got real cold.
Oh, my.
Like I was freezing. And I was really terrified. By this time, I'm shaking up, and she won't speak to me. And she was wearing the same thing that my wife was wearing when she went to bed. So I was, you know, it's just puzzled me. Well, she reached right down, right at my face, and her face turned to this older woman. And her teeth was kind of rotted, and her eyes turned black. And the only thing that I could ever get out of my breath, because I'm a youth pastor, the only thing I could get out of my breath was, God have mercy. And when I said that, it was like she just vanished out of thin air. Yeah, the thing started picking up. Like, I would hear doors slam at the middle of the night. I would get up, and all the doors would be wide open. I'd hear mumbles of, you know, voice from, you know, men, older men. And I began to do research, and there was an older woman that actually passed away in the house, and she was in her 90s.
Okay.
And I described it to some of the neighbors that was around, you know, what I saw.
Right.
And they spoke back and told me that was the same woman that actually died in the house, and what they, you know, what she looked like.
Now,
and, go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go ahead, finish your thought, and then I'll tell you the question I had.
Okay. And then I went back and searched the records and everything, and somehow went online to the apartment that I used to live, and I looked, and it actually showed the image of the woman, and it was the exact same woman that I've seen.
Oh,
so that's the most terrifying part.
My goodness. Now, you don't think she was evil or anything. You just think this was someone who was a ghost of someone who had been there.
No, I don't think she was evil. I think she was just trying to get my attention. It was just strange how she would just touch my arm. And, you know, she got up to my face like she was going to kiss me. But then I realized, you know, that it was not my wife. And that's what terrified me the most.
I guess so. You know, kissed by a ghost. That's kind of scary. Well, and was there, you know, you said things started to pick up. Now, is that someplace you're still at, or did you leave there?
No, we got to the point where we said, this is enough, because we had some friends that come over and we were just sitting on the couch one day and, like our chandelier started waving back and forth.
Oh boy.
And yeah. And it's just got to the point where he's like, okay, we've had enough. And we moved out, and ever since then, we haven't had any kind of issues at our new place. So,
it was specifically, I mean, this activity was specifically why you left.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, it was a good place, had people, good neighbors around you and everything. And it was just an awesome, you know, place as far as in general, but that we just couldn't take any more of it.
Wow. Well, Dylan, thank you so much. I appreciate you telling the story. And boy, that is a spooky one about this ghost who kind of appeared to be your wife. She wasn't, tried to kiss you almost, and you said you weren't having a part. You weren't having a part of it, especially when she turned into this older person. Well, thank you so much, Dylan. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Jim, for having me on the show.
This episode, Jim Harold's Campfire, is brought to you by Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. And I got to tell you, if you're new to the Campfire and haven't heard, Casper is my favorite mattress in the world. I was thinking about it earlier. They've supported us for a few years as a sponsor, and they've supported me because I sleep on their mattress. And they are so, so cool. I really do believe in this product. Now, Casper's mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress at a very fair price. It's made up of supportive memory foam for a sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. Now, the great thing that they have done is they've taken the middleman out of the process. No more going into these uncomfortable showrooms, being lorded over by a salesperson, and picking out something that you're going to spend a third of your life on in about 5 or 10 minutes. No, that's over with Casper. You can buy your Casper easily online and completely risk-free. So what they do is they offer free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. Yes, that means you can test out the Casper in your home risk-free for over 3 months. So no more lying down in a showroom. Plus, there's free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. So here's your chance to take action. Now, again, remember, you spend a third of your life on this, so you're going to want to check this out. You can save an additional $50 towards a Casper mattress purchase by going to casper.com/campfire and entering the promo code campfire. Again, go to casper.com/campfire and enter the promo code campfire. Terms and conditions apply. I love Casper, and I know you will too. So many listeners have told me, thanks, Jim, for telling me about Casper. I've got one, and I'd never go back to the bad old way of sleeping. Check it out, casper.com/campfire, and enter that promo code campfire. Thanks so much, Casper. Next up is Bob from Pennsylvania. And you know, he told me tomorrow will be his 1 year anniversary of listening to the show. So we wish him a happy anniversary and thank him for sharing this story. This story is one of my favorite kinds of stories in two ways. One, it is unusual. You know, after, 7 years of doing this show, you kind of think, oh, I've heard it all. There's nothing new. This is definitely new. And it falls into one of my favorite categories, that of the head scratcher. Bob, welcome to the program, and please tell us your head scratcher.
Great. Thank you, Jim. I'm very excited to share this one. As soon as we started listening to the show, I thought this would be the one that I would share with you all. But this happened on a high school marching band trip, which just even saying that already sets it up to be interesting. But we were on a trip up to Boston, and we were there for just a few nights. The first night that we arrived, we always leave early in the morning. So we got to the city midday. We spent some time exploring a little bit. Then we got to the hotel, and the four of us guys in the room kind of put our stuff away and got ready for bed. And the one person in the room had a cassette tape of Weird Al Yankovic's Jurassic Park album.
One of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. He's good. And for whatever reason, he just set this tape inside the top drawer of the dresser. Didn't think anything of it until the next morning when he went to get it out to go with his Walkman back on the bus, and there were two cassette tapes in the drawer of the Weird Al Yankovic album Jurassic Park. We don't know how it got there. We knew one other person in the band listened to that album a lot, but we talked to him and he said he left his at home. So already we were scratching our heads at that one.
Sure.
And, you know, so the day went on. It was that day that we got our T-shirts for participating in the band festival that we were there for. We all got back to our rooms at the end of the day, and we were cleaning up and getting ready for bed, and the same person, for whatever reason, put his T-shirt in that same top drawer.
Mm.
And we went to sleep. The next morning we woke up, and he opened the drawer, and there were two T-shirts from the Marching Band Festival inside the drawer. And he's like, all right, guys, whose shirt is this? So we all went to our suitcases and pulled them out, and now there were five of the T-shirts in the room with four of us guys.
Huh.
So we were starting to really wonder what was going on with this, but, you know, being high school students, we had a great idea that what we were going to do that night before we went to bed was take all of our cash and loose change and put it inside the drawer with the hopes that it would double overnight.
Now that, I like that, entrepreneurial spirit.
Yep, it was a good idea that we all forgot about that night, and we just went to sleep with nothing in the drawer. And when we woke up, there was nothing in the drawer. So we went home, and the guy, he never believed us that we didn't have anything to do with it. But it seemed like it continued. He said that the shirt kept duplicating at home. And eventually he got so tired of it that he threw out about five of the marching band T-shirts from that trip that he had at his house.
Well, in reflection, do you have any theories whatsoever? Any thoughts of what this could have been?
You know, I do. It took me a long time to come to one because this one's been on my mind for years. We're actually getting ready for my 20-year high school class reunion right now, so it's been on my mind for a couple decades. But since really listening to this podcast and the Paranormal podcast, I remembered that the first night we got there, one of the girls in the marching band, we were all bored in the hotel, I would just say, but she said, hey, let's have a seance. So we gathered in the middle of the hallway in the hotel, sat on the floor in a circle. There were about eight of us. And she decided to call upon the spirit of Robert Johnson. And at the time, I didn't know who Robert Johnson was, but the name stuck with me because my name happens to be Robert as well. And nothing happened with it, but when I was trying, at least that I knew, but when I was trying to get all my facts straight to tell the story, I checked with the guy who had the shirt and the tape that duplicated, and he said that he was at that seance, and he remembers it because he had a big chill that ran up his spine during the middle of it.
Mm.
So it makes me wonder if maybe we did make contact with Robert Johnson, and maybe he took a liking to the guy and duplicated two music-related items of his.
Huh. Wow, that's pretty neat. That's a pretty neat idea. You know, the thing is that even if you're interested in this stuff all your life, hearing more stories and talking to more authors, I mean, I always say when I started all of this back in 2005 with the Paranormal podcast, the first show, which, by the way, you can still find and I still put out every week. So if you haven't listened to that, check out the Paranormal podcast. It's free. But the thing is that it expands your mind when you talk and listen to all these stories and you come up with explanations for things that never occurred to you. Yeah. I had that experience with an interviewer, recently, John Zaffis, and I was talking about an object that I was afraid of as a little kid. And, just as he was talking about haunted objects, and I'd done shows on haunted objects before, but I said, could that object have been haunted? 'Cause it never occurred to me. And this happened over 30 years ago, what I'm referring to. And he said, yes, most definitely it could have been haunted. And that could have been why that object, it was actually an old high school diploma that somebody had left in a house that my parents bought, a very Ooh. Modest summer home. And I would see this object and it would frighten me. Mm-hmm. And I was about 10 years old. Now, I thought it was just because of the way the calligraphy was, and the, just sometimes things strike you as odd. And he said, well, did you ever think that maybe there was a reason the previous family left it behind? And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
So I love when I hear, and we had another caller tonight, it may or may not be on this particular episode, who said that she got some ideas of what something was by listening to the show. So it's really interesting. Two callers in a row said by listening to the show, they got an idea of what may have happened to them. And it's like I always say, this show produces itself. Mm-hmm. I don't produce it. It's like a theme emerges on an evening of calls, and it's never planned that way. So it is amazing. And I thank you so much, Bob, for being a part of it tonight on The Campfire.
Great. Thank you.
Next up is Chris from Chicago, the Windy City, a great city. I was there. I hadn't been there for several years, visited this last summer and had a great time. Although I got to say my Indians didn't have such a great time with the Cubs, but actually I'm glad for the Cubs. So it's okay. It's okay. Now, Chris is on the line. He was introduced to us by the great guys over at the Astonishing Legends podcast. So check them out. They're always very generous mentioning me. So I want to return the favor. They have a fine and very popular show. So check that out. And we're actually recording this the day before Veterans Day. Now, this will be released sometime after that, but I'm always interested to hear kind of these stories relating to the brave men and women who have served our country so well. So I'm so glad to have Chris on the line. And Chris, please tell us your experience.
Yeah, first of all, Jim, thanks for having me. Really excited to tell my story. Now, this is just one of them I've had. I wouldn't say like probably about a handful of several unique experiences just from my time in service. I was a 10-year Army vet myself.
Well, thank you for your service.
I really mean that. I was happy to serve. I was a field artillery guy. It was one of a few jobs that I did during that period of time. And we were in Charleston, South Carolina for my sister-in-law's wedding. And we went to the wedding, did all that stuff. And then they told us about Sullivan's Island. They had some really cool historical stuff, and I'm into that sort of thing. And so it was a quick drive down there. We got down there, and we got to Fort Moultrie. And just to paint you a little quick picture, Fort Sumter is right in the middle of the bay. There's another fort that's north of there. I can't remember the name. And then Fort Moultrie is the one that we went to, and that was the southern part of the bay. Mm-hmm. And it was very active up and from the Revolutionary War up until just about after World War II. It was a coastal defense battery, which means field artillery. And one really cool thing about this place is these old gun batteries are still there, and you can walk into them, you can walk around them. And there's no lights. But these, just to give you an idea, these guns that they had were so big, they had special carriages made and elevators made so they could move the rounds up to the gun deck. So we get there, and wife didn't really feel like coming, so I was by myself, and I had my flashlight with me, mm-hmm. On the phone and everything. And I'm walking around, and there's this, it's kind of chunked up into the major periods of when it's history. So I go through all the Revolutionary War stuff and start looking at the World War II stuff. And like I said, this battery's name is Battery Jasper. And they had these huge cannons that were called floating guns. They would rise up, fire, and then lower back down. So it was a special hydraulic system. So that makes these really unique for defending the bay. So I'm down walking around in the battery, in the magazine, and I'm just kind of humming to myself the field artillery song. It was a little cadence used to sing in the military and the field artillery units. And so I'm walking around, I'm just mesmerized by this. I thought it was the coolest thing, because down in the batteries and the magazines, you could see where the powder was still stacked. You could see where rounds were stacked previously, because the imprints on the floor. And I'm just humming along to myself. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, this is great. You know, see a piece of field artillery and stuff like that. And I go up to the gun deck. And this is I started off on the top gun deck, went down, and came back up again. And I kid you not. And I didn't recall smelling this before, but as I went up to the top, it had smelled like fresh powder, like a gun had been fired. Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, this it's a smell if you've ever shot a gun before. It's a smell, the powder, you never forget it, you know? And we shot a lot. So I was like, my heart starts pounding. I'm going, this is amazing. You know, whoever this is, you know, a field artillery guy. Thanks you for saying hi. And, I was just, elated. And I told my mom, I was taking pics and sending them to my mom. She's into that too. And I said, Mom, I just smelled this fresh gunpowder. She goes, they're communicating with you, Chris. And I was just, whoa. So I thought that was rather amazing. And if you ever get a chance to go to Charleston, a lot of history, obviously. And, this is definitely something, if anyone gets a chance to see it, definitely go see it and, you know, call Jim and, see if you can confirm that.
Yeah, I definitely, so. Please let us know. You know, the thing is that I really think when you think about haunted places and you think about haunted hospitals, haunted asylums, haunted prisons, haunted houses, I mean, one of the most haunted things I've got to think of is anything that has to do with war and peace. You know, and particularly places where there's been live fire, I would think, would be more more apt to it. Have you ever had any other kind of military-related experiences?
Yes, I have. In fact, I was in Afghanistan for a rotation, and we were out by the Pakistani border. I was at the small Special Forces Fire Base called Fire Base Chamkani in the Paktia province. And word has it that it used to be a Russian installation back when the Russians were there. I think Afghanistan is, you know, it's one of those places where anything is possible. And the reason I say that is because there would be a night we'd come back from a long mission or you know, a few days out in a field going to the outpost and stuff, because part of our job was to manage the police and border patrol. So we would train them. Certain districts had certain levels of expertise, and we had to make sure that they were doing their job. So there's a lot of time behind the wheel, a lot of time driving around the goat trails and stuff like that in the mountains. We're talking average of between 6,000 and 8,000 foot elevation. And I have seen more than once, more than one occasion, shadow people. And the reason why I believe that with my heart of hearts is because, for instance, one experience, I was on the satellite phone with my wife where I was signing off for the night and saying goodnight. We had a really advantageous thing with that satellite phone because otherwise we, you know, had no other means of communication.
Right.
And it's kind of hard to get a letter out, you know?
Yeah.
But I was out back and I was signing off for the night and we hung up and I'm finishing off my cigarette and a shadow person walked right by me and I could tell it moved its head and looked at me and kept on walking. And this firebase is a steady uphill incline. So it's built on an incline. So, and the thing about this is that there's gravel everywhere in order to keep the dust down because it gets pretty dusty out there and no crunch of gravel underfoot. And just no sound whatsoever. And it looked at me and I looked at it and it just kept on trucking, you know, and I was just like mesmerized by that. There were other occasions where I would hear, disembodied voices from time to time. There's a lot of guys, there's a little shrine with all the guys, the operators and the service people that were killed there. And it was definitely a hot spot. There are times when, you know, the Afghans, the bad guys, they try to overrun it and stuff like that. People ended up, unfortunately, dying. So I think there's elements of both sides there. And it's just a unique energy. And just to give you an example of, I mean, because you're looking at this, for instance, there's a big FOB outside of a city called Gardez. And if you look out to the west, you can see an old fortress that belonged to Genghis Khan, still standing. Like there's people who actually live in that thing. And further off, you can see really rubbly looking, but you can still make some stuff out. Was one from Alexander the Great, you know. And these people, you know, as backwards as it might seem, they are incredibly resilient, and they carry a real spirit to them. You know, just a real sense of spirit.
Right.
So very powerful energy and very different. You know, it's not like going to a haunted hospital or something like that. It's just, you just feel it all around you. Plus, you know, and it's a time of conflict, and it's, it always has been, you know, if you look at the history of Afghanistan. So very fascinating stuff.
Well, I got to say, I really appreciate your service. I really appreciate you being on the show. You know, it's one of those things where to hear from somebody who's been in these situations and then exposed to these, I think it's really, really interesting. And thank you so much for finding this show, for your service, and for listening and being on the campfire tonight.
I appreciate it, Jim. And you know what? I'll have to get back to you later on with some other stories in the future.
Sounds great. Kelly is on the line. She is a new listener. Her old college roommate told her about the show, and she started listening to the free stuff ran out. Then she joined the Plus Club, and we thank her very much for that. She's calling in for Minneapolis tonight, and she has some stories about her grandparents. Kelly, welcome very much to the program. Thank you, and please tell us what happened.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. So both my grandparents are gone. But my grandpa had passed away back in 94, and we were down in Iowa visiting my grandma at their house, and he had passed away in the home. And we were just in the one room, actually where he passed away, watching TV, and I was sitting next to my mom. I was on the floor. And at that point, I had glasses, so anytime, you know, I could see things out of the corner of my eye, but it was blurry. Well, I just happened to like notice something in the kitchen to the left of me, and it was my grandpa, and he was standing there clear as day looking at me, and I would turn my head so I could see him clearly, and he would just disappear. So he did this a couple times to me, and I thought that was, you know, I believed in ghosts, but my mom thought I was kind of weird. And I finally told her a couple of years later, I was like, hey, you know what? I saw grandpa standing in the kitchen where he always used to stand.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you've watched too many ghost shows. It's like, no, he seriously was there. So after my grandma had passed away in 2005, she had gone down right away to be with family and to start everything for the funeral arrangements. And she told me, she's like, I saw grandpa standing in the same spot. I was like, I'm not crazy. He was there. And it was interesting because, you know, afterwards I'm putting things together, and there was always kind of like, it was an older house, so you kind of felt like this kind of weird vibe or that something else was there. And I think I put it together afterwards that it was just him the whole time looking after my grandma until she had passed away. And there was one point when my grandma had even said, well, Dad's here to take me home. And I never figured it out until just recently, actually, that she meant grandpa was there to take her to heaven. So it's just really neat to be able to put that all together. No, it wasn't anything scary or evil. It was just really him just being there as a protector.
Yeah, that is, and that is something that it's not something haunting you, but it's something more reassuring. Now, I know you have another story, don't you, that connects with those grandparents?
Yes. So after my grandma passed away, I've had some weird things happen. So after that happened, I started having dreams with them. Like a month after my grandma passed away, she came to me in a dream saying she was okay. And then I'd have these random dreams with my grandparents. And then it kind of, this is the weird part. And I thought I was kind of crazy. So I had this, you know, old Grand Prix, and randomly the passenger seatbelt like light would start dinging and flashing at me. And you know, as a woman, we have a purse and they're heavy. So I figured that's what was causing it.
Right.
But I would pull it off and it would still keep going off. And I could never figure out, like, it would happen randomly. Like I thought, you know, because it's cold in Minnesota, it would happen during the winter. Sometimes I'm like, I thought it was a malfunction. And this past year, I got a brand new, like, 2017 car. And after I got it, I had this really weird dream about, I'm never going to have the passenger seat go off. To me, that was a sign, because it was so random, that my grandparents were just saying they were with me. So a couple weeks after I have this dream, I'm driving down the highway, and in my brand new car that has absolutely no issues, my passenger light starts dinging at me and flashing again. Like I pulled my purse off the seat and it wouldn't stop at all. And it was about a week after my grandpa's anniversary of passing.
Wow.
So I felt like it was just weird to have the dream. And then that I was like, it's never going to happen again. And then it does happen as I'm driving down a major highway. So it just, I feel like that they still show that they're still with me and they do it in any way possible.
Well, that those are great stories. And it's nice to have a story like that sometimes. Sometimes we have the real spooky and shadow people and menacing kind of things. It's nice to have the reassuring stories sometimes, too.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for being a part of the campfire, Kelly.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Happy New Year, everyone. I love the possibilities of 2017. There's so much I have planned, but one thing I hate about this time of the year is the snow and the cold. If only there were something warm and inviting to look forward to. Well, I have the answer. How about a paranormal cruise from Fort Lauderdale to Grand Turk and Amber Cove in the Dominican Republic? Now, for the longest time, I've wanted to be part of a paranormal cruise, and I'm so excited to say that this dream is finally coming true thanks to the good folks over at Holiday Maker Travel. I'm glad to announce that from November 8th to the 13th, 2017, I will be participating in a Mysteries paranormal cruise, and I'd like you to come along. Now, that is exciting, but even better yet are the people who will be joining me. First, you have my good pal and fellow podcaster and author, Micah Hanks. And then last, but certainly not least, there's paranormal megastar Amy Bruni, who you know from TLC's Kindred Spirits and from her time as part of the Ghost Hunters crew. And you can find all of the details and how you can be a part of this great cruise at mysteriescruise.com. That's plural, mysteries. That's mysteriescruise.com. Now, when you sign up there, shore excursions, exclusive speaker presentation sessions, rotating dinner with speakers, all included. And it's going to be on Princess Cruises, Crown Princess, so you know it's going to be good. That's one of their largest cruise ships with room for over 3,000 guests. You're going to love it. So for more information and to get the great deal, go to mysteriescruise.com. Book now, and you'll get a great deal on specialty dining during Princess's anniversary sale. Terms and conditions apply. Plus, if you book and use the promo code JHJAN in the month of January, that's JHJAN in the month of January, you'll get an autographed copy of my Campfire 5 book. So I hope you'll join us. It's mysteriescruise.com, mysteriescruise.com. And I hope to be sailing with you soon. Bon voyage. Shannon is on the line from Alabama. He's been listening for about 3 months, found us by chance, but he said the podcast has been valuable to him, and we're glad to hear that. And he has a story about some things to that happened to him as a child, what were once thought to be childhood nightmares, but upon reflection, Shannon thinks they may have been something different. Shannon, welcome to the program, and please tell us what happened.
I'd like to share the very first story I can remember. I was probably about 3 years old, and I was still in a crib. That much I remember. And we had moved into this house in Mobile, Alabama, and my sisters and my mom. And my mom had set me in the crib and turned off the light and walked out. I watched her through the bars of the crib as she walked on out the door, and I watched her as she walked down the hallway. And there was a little bit of light coming in from the hallway. And I pulled myself up to see her better, and I watched her disappear into her room. And then I just, you know, kept looking out the hallway or down the hallway, and behind my crib was a bookshelf. There was no windows, so there was no other light source than what was coming in from that door. And so I saw the back of my hands and the inside of my crib start to light up with you know, as if there was a light behind me. Mm-hmm. So I turned to look at the bookshelf, and it was as if it was on fire. It just lit up everything in the room. It was an incredible light. It was so terrifying. I turned back towards the door, and at this point, I can only see the inside of my crib. The light is so bright that it's caused the light coming in from the hallway to just diminish. And I felt as if I was being about to be taken. And this is, you know, before, you know, I'm so young. This is before any ghost stories. This is
right.
or anything, you know, any kind of reference.
Right.
All I knew was that something was happening, and I felt as if I was being taken. And so I screamed for my mother, and she started to come out of her bedroom. I could hear her footsteps. The light went dark again, and but I didn't let up screaming. That I was still in a state of panic. Just thinking back to it, really, every time I think back to that, it gives me a state of fright. And that was really just the beginning. That was as far back as I can remember the beginning of the things that I would later experience in that house. My nights were plagued every night. You know, my mom would always think that we were calling her, and she would think, she would think we were calling her, and we would think that she was calling us when she wouldn't. We would hear taps on our back door at night. You know, our family dog would race the outside of the house at night. At a specific time, we would just start sprinting around the outside of the house. At night, many nights, the one that stands out in your callers kind of jogged this memory that I had when they discussed shadow people, and because it was very common for me to see shadows or shadow figure. I don't want to say shadows because it wasn't a reflection on the wall.
Right.
It was right there. I could reach out and touch them. And one particular night, I was laying in bed. I was about five at this point, and a figure. I looked up at the ceiling, and I did see a shadow, and I looked to see what was causing the shadow, and it was a tall guy standing there wearing black, and I actually don't know if he was wearing black. The lights, you know, I was only seeing, like, his silhouette from the light coming in from the hallway, and I just remember he had a fedora on, and within about, when he realized that I was looking at him, within three steps, he was on me and had yanked the pillow out from underneath my head.
Oh, my.
Smothering me with it.
Oh, my.
So I'm, you know, it was being smothered. And so I couldn't even call out. All I could do was make a lot of commotion with my hands. And then I heard my twin sister start screaming, and that alerted my mom to come. And it just seems like, you know, when she would start on her way, that's whenever things would subside. Even though she had her own experiences in that house as well, but that's it. And I just wanted to share this story with you to see if any of your callers had ever experienced just a bright being engulfed with a terrifying light. You know, sometimes it's the dark that can make us afraid, but that very first time, it was the light that
it sounds terrified
me.
Well, the one thing I will say is with shadow people, I've heard of the Hat Man and fedoras, where in fact, in my last book, my editor contributed a story about experience he had with a shadow person who was wearing a fedora. So that is not, that in itself is not an unusual thing. I've heard that before. It is really, really frightening. So now, you moved, is it correct that you moved out of that house and everything stopped for you? Is that correct?
That's correct. At the age of 12, we moved up to Talladega, Alabama, and never had any more experiences. I've since moved to Birmingham, living on my own. And my mom, she still lives in Talladega. And now she has had experiences where she has heard chanting at night, as well as whistling in her house. She had a friend stay over who felt someone touch her shoulder or that wasn't there. And my nieces and my nephew have seen figures that weren't there. There's one incident which my niece saw. My mom witnesses too. There was a balloon on the floor that had deflated, so it didn't have any more. You know, it barely had any helium. Well, the balloon expanded on its own and started dancing on the floor, moving around, and it just terrified my niece. My mom started yelling for my sister. My sister came in there. My sister didn't waste any time. She didn't know what was going on. She just picked up the balloon and popped it. But for something like that to occur, I know enough about physics to know that there had to have been some pressure change and a lot of it for it to have caused something like that to happen. There was no air draft to move that balloon around. So in that house, my mom and my nieces and my nephew have all had some experiences, but they haven't seemed to be they haven't been violent. They haven't been aggressive like the ones that were back in Mobile. The ones in Mobile, those were violent. But the one in Talladega, it seems, you know, it's just letting my mom know that it's there and that's about it.
Thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight. We appreciate it and glad that these things have stopped for you, but glad that the show has maybe provided some level of comfort in that, you maybe have a better feel of what was going on there.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you and your callers. You guys are awesome. Love you guys.
Tim is on the line from Mississippi. He's a faithful listener to both shows, and he's calling in from Natchez. And he's going to tell us about something that has happened to him over there in the fall of 2014. I can't wait to hear this story. Please tell us what happened, and welcome to the program, Tim.
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me. It was very strange. It happened on the Natchez Trace Parkway. Y'all are not familiar with that. It goes through Natchez on up through, I think, and terminates in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But I was coming to visit my wife, who was staying with her family there in Natchez, which we live there now. But it was a relatively warm day, as it's usually warm down here in the South. And I'm driving, as I usually am, kind of slow, looking out for deer. And as I'm driving, there's a lot of trees and a lot of kind of little hills and things like this. I notice that to my right, as I sort of come around a curve, there's this sort of, I guess the best way I can describe it is like a column of fog. And it was very strange. It caught my eye, and I noticed it started going down the hill there in front of me. And the weird thing is that there was no fog that day. It wasn't a foggy day or anything, and it just sort of glided down the hill. And it was very strange because it was about the height of an average person, and it moved. And what was so strange is that it was almost as if I could see movement, like somebody just walking very quickly. Like I could even see like shoulder kind of movement. I'm not sure how to describe it, but it had a person's gait there, just walking down the little hill across the road and then on through the other side. It happened so quick, and it was so freaky. I have to tell you. Of course, it happened so fast. I slowed down, but there was no cars on the road or anything. I was in no danger, but it was just probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen because it looked just like a person walking, except it was like in a very mist or fog-like form. And I'm going to be honest with you, Jim, I've never seen fog act like that and move like a human being. It was very strange. It was almost like it was something out of a movie, you know, like especially older movies, and you kind of see this blurry mist of a ghost.
Yeah,
it was like that, but it happened so quick that it's kind of like, did I just see that? Was that what I just saw? You know, and I was like, holy crap, it is, you know, because we hear a lot of ghost stories around here in Natchez and stuff, and I just kind of like, okay, yeah, I've never experienced. And then to actually experience that, it was very, very creepy. And after I listened to your show for a long time, I was like, okay, I got to do it. I got to share this. I haven't heard anybody else talk about the Natchez Trace and our Mississippi. And there's a lot of really good folklore around here. And I just so happened to experience one of the many, I guess, sightings on the Natchez Trace.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. So you see something walking around in a mist. I mean, that's just very, very strange. It's not something that you see every day. And what's interesting is you never experienced anything before that. You're interested in this stuff, but you never experienced anything before.
That's right. I'm kind of like one of those people that show up to a haunted place and they say, oh man, it's so haunted. And I go in and I'm like, oh, okay. And never experience anything. You know, really wanting to, but never really experienced. And then something like this happens out of the blue, you know, when I'm not even prepared or looking for anything creepy, or, you know, I'm not in a graveyard or anything like that, you know. So that was pretty crazy. I guess that's when the most crazy stuff happens, when you're not expecting it, you know.
Yeah, and then I think those are the most interesting stories. Now, you said you held off telling this story on your own podcast to tell in the campfire. So thank you for that. And in return, I think I should give you a little chance to briefly plug your podcast. So tell people about it.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Jim. Yeah, I co-host with the host K-Town for Mysterious Radio. And it's still a relatively new podcast, but we've got a lot of guests. We do an interview type format where we have a guest on there. We talk to them. We kind of chit chat at the beginning. I would feel fairly certain listeners of your show would enjoy listening to it. You can find us at mysteriousradio.com on iTunes, Spreaker, Podbean. I think we're on pretty much all of those platforms there for podcasts. But I knew that, hey, this has to go on Jim Herold because, I'm not going to lie. I've been kind of a chicken to talk on air, but I've kind of got over that. So,
well, excellent.
Just wanted to share that with you.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tim. Best of luck with your podcast. And thank you for telling your story on the campfire.
Well, thank you very much.
We have a return caller all the way from the UK. Tamsin joins us, and she had been on the program before and told us about her husband who saw an elderly lady ghost at her mom's house. But now she has an update. Tamsin, welcome back to the program. Tell us what happened.
Thank you, Jim. Yes. So I thought it was important to call in with an update.
Excellent.
I'll just give a bit of context. So, the house where the activity's taken place has been owned by my parents for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up here. I think I mentioned on the call before when I phoned in previously that we would always hear sort of banging upstairs. There was one room, which was my old bedroom, actually. It was very cold in the house. Mm-hmm. But we knew that there was something going on, but my mum would always say it was the neighbours making noises and things, and we knew that wasn't the case. It's a house that was built in the 1930s, so it's a big old brick house. It's got a big driveway leading up to it, and there's three floors. So when my husband saw the old lady, she was walking up the driveway. And a few weeks ago, I was bringing my daughter to my parents' house in the morning. I take her there before school. Mm-hmm. And I was in a bit of a hurry, so I walked in onto the ground floor and dropped my daughter into the kitchen with my mum, and my mum was going to give her some breakfast. And it was my dad who was going to take my daughter to school, and I needed to go and speak to him about a school trip that my daughter was going on in the day. So I said, "Mum, where's dad?" And she said, "Oh, he's up in his bathroom." So the way that the house is, you've got the ground floor, and the first floor, there are four bedrooms and a bathroom. And then on the top floor is my parents' bedroom and a bathroom, and it's only my parents that live in the house. So he would have been having his shower up there. So I said, "Okay, I'm just going to go and speak to him." So I started walking up the stairs, and the stairs curve round to the left. I was shouting to him because he was in the shower, and I didn't want to walk in on him in the shower.
Right, don't blame me.
So I was shouting, "Dad, Dad." And as I walked up the stairs and the stairs turned around to the left, there's a landing in front of me on the first floor. And I saw a person in dark clothing. I thought it was my dad in his bathrobe, walk along the landing towards the first floor bathroom. And I thought, I wasn't really thinking very much about it. I was sort of shouting at the same time. And I thought, "Oh, my dad's using the first floor bathroom. That's really odd. He doesn't usually do that." But I thought, well, there must be a reason for it. Carried on up the stairs and lowered my voice and walked round into the first floor bathroom, and there's nobody in the bathroom. So then I thought, "Oh, that's a bit odd. Where's he gone?" So I looked in a couple of the bedrooms, wasn't there, started shouting again, "Dad, where are you?" And he shouted to me from upstairs in the second floor bathroom. He said, I'm up here. I'm just getting out the shower." And I straight away, I got all goose pimples all over my arms. I thought, because I clearly watched somebody walk across the top landing. So I turned around and I said, "Oh, Dad, I'll be up in a minute." I turned around and I called my mum. I said, "Mum, can you just come here a minute, please? I just need to tell you something," because mm-hmm. I didn't want to scare my daughter. And she came up the stairs and I said, "Mum, I've just seen somebody walk across the landing." And she sort of smirked at me. And I said, "Mum, who was it?" And she said, "Oh, it's the old lady." I said, "What, Mum? What do you mean?" I said, "Is it the same old lady that Lee saw before?" And uh-huh. she said, "Yeah, it's the old lady that used to live here." And I said, "So all this time when we've been hearing banging upstairs," and she nodded at me. She said, "Yeah, it's her. We've always known it was her. We just didn't want to scare you when you were kids." So I said, "Oh, thanks, Mum, for not letting me know before." But what's really odd is that for 20 years they've had the house. We've always heard things. We've had the cold room. And interestingly, actually, Jim, when I saw this shadow figure walk along the landing, she was walking towards that cold bedroom. So I don't know whether that's got some significance, but it's only this year. So my husband saw the lady walking up the driveway, and I've now seen her as well, that anyone has ever seen her in the house. Nobody's ever seen her before. So I don't know why the activity suddenly ramped up.
That is odd. It's like she really wants somebody to see her and notice her now. Maybe she was feeling ignored.
Maybe. I mean, the house it's got a really nice feel to it. It's nothing, I think I said it on the call before, nothing intimidating, nothing scary. My dad won't talk about it. He's really frightened, but she's never done anything scary or anything like that. The only thing that I can think is that I have been getting more into sort of clairvoyancy and that kind of thing mm-hmm. in the last year or so. So maybe I'm just a little bit more open to that now, and that's why she showed herself to me. But I felt quite privileged that she did. I haven't told my daughter. I don't want to frighten her, but I don't think it is anything scary.
Oh, that's a great story. And I thank you so much for sharing it with us all the way from the UK. And thank you for the update. And folks, if you call in and have an update, do what Tamsin did and call back in and tell us what happened. Thank you, Tamsin.
I'll let you know if there's anything else, Jim. Thank you.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed the show as much as I did, and I hope that you'll tell a friend about the campfire. Show them how you subscribe and say, hey, you can do the same thing. There's so many options on Android and iPhones and iPads and tablets and computers. There's no excuse not to listen to the campfire. So show them how to do it and get them hooked. That's the goal. Also, please rate and review us on iTunes. Maybe give us a 4 or 5 star review and perhaps write a sentence or two about why you love the campfire. It would be most appreciated. We thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time on the campfire. Have a great week, everybody. And as always, stay spooky.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.